No worries.
What's up, football fans? Danny Kelly here. This is Deep Balls, your weekly NFL picks podcast. I'm joined, as always, by Jackson Bevins. How you doing, Jackson?
Good, man. You wouldn't think that going 5-9 would be considered a good week, but the way things went down last week was crazy. I think 11 Vegas upsets.
Yeah. The Vegas went 3-11. There were, I think, 10 road dogs that won.
There were 11 road teams that won, which is like the first or second highest number ever.
Yeah. This week actually reminded me a lot of week two. Or was that week two when I got two out of six?
You weren't the only one. I mean, that was a really rough week. I think Vegas got six right that week, but only three this week. And the thing is, like, Vegas is wrong a lot early in the season because you don't really know what you have. Everyone's just, betting based on the previous year. But now you're supposed to start having a pretty good idea who's who and what's what. And so that's what makes last week so bizarre.
Yeah. And, if you look at the standings of everything, like both the NFC and the AFC are just total like messes right now. I think there's 12 teams that are 4-5 right now, or I should say there's 12 teams that have four wins. The Saints have four wins and six losses. So, they're the one team that has, I guess. And then there's like another five or six that have five or six wins. So it's all like really, really close. I don't know what the hell is going to happen with the playoff schedule. If you look at some of the teams that also have four wins right now, the Seahawks obviously have four wins. It's kind of crazy to be associated with those teams right now. Like the Colts and Texans both have four wins. The Redskins and Eagles have four wins. The Bears have four wins after starting out.
Buccaneers have four wins.
What's that? The Buccaneers
have four wins.
Yeah. And the Rams, obviously. So it's like, man, the NFL's a wasteland. And the Bills have four, or the Bills have five wins, or 5-4. The Jets are 5-4. Let's see here. The Giants are 5-5. And then the Saints are 4-6. Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. So there's, still, seven games remaining for the Seahawks, I think. And then are all the buys over now? I think they might be.
This week, the Saints and Steelers have buys.
Okay, so this is probably the last week of buys.
And the Browns. So that means one other team does. But
Giants, maybe?
Giants, yeah.
Yeah.
Giants.
There's 7-8 weeks left. There's so much football to be played, and there's, 15 or 20 teams all within two games of each other.
It's so bonkers. I mean, if you're a fan of one of those 4-5 teams like we are, that can seem so bleak. But, I mean, the way the standings end last year, there wasn't a super high correlation between that and how they looked at the end of the year. So,
yeah, it's crazy out there. And this week, obviously, let's recap last week first before we get into this week, I guess. As you said, Jackson, you got five right, went 5-9. You are now 87-57 straight up on the year. You are one game behind me. I went 4-10 last week. So you gained a game on me. I'm 88-58 straight up. I'm in the 85th percentile. You're in the 82nd percentile. Looking at our group here, we have CW6, who got eight right last week, which is insane. Was all over those upsets. So he's in number one spot right now, 96 overall, 99th percentile worldwide. Betty Swalox is number two. He has 95 wins. Gingerbread Man one, Maury Povich, Chris Kilby, and the list goes on. Yeah, there was actually quite a few people in here that got two correct. I know I'm looking at my SB Nation, group of guys that we do all the picks, and I even after getting four wins last week, I'm still actually tied for first place among those guys.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, give you an idea. The Vegas favorites only have 86 wins this year. I mean, that's a really low number through 10 weeks.
That's interesting. Yeah, so obviously there's been some carnage out there, and I do actually think there's going to be some carnage this week as well. There's a lot of, like you said before we kind of started recording here, there's a lot of 50-50 games. You know, I had a hard time picking some of these games. Plus, there's injuries that you still don't really have a lot of answers on. So,
yeah,
there's definitely some interesting stuff going on. I don't. Before we get into it, do you want to add anything, or should we just get right into it?
No, let's do it.
So the first game is, you know, one of those mid to late season Thursday night games that just suck ass. It's the it's Tennessee at Jacksonville. Though I will say, Jacksonville is looking a little more interesting than I thought they might be earlier on in the year. The offense is starting to click a little bit. They are 3-6. They've already reached, I think, how many wins did they have last year? They have three? Can't remember. Anyway, they're on pace to have a better season this year than they did last year, which is good for Gus Bradley.
They're only a game out of first.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so
they're playing for a shot at the division lead this week.
They could still go to the playoffs pretty easily.
I mean, I don't think it can happen just because they also have to play each other a bunch. But if there was ever going to be a division champion at 6-10, this would be the division to do it.
Yeah. So anyhow, and then obviously Tennessee is Tennessee. They're still kind of getting their bearings after firing the head coach and their rookie quarterback and all that. They have some things against them. What did you have in this game?
Well, Tennessee is much better with Marcus Mariota than they are without him, which I think says as much about the roster as it does about Mariota. But they are competitive with him, and I think that they're definitely capable of winning this game. But Jacksonville's offense has been playing really, really well of late, and even though their defense still isn't terrific, you don't have to be terrific against Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't score a whole lot of points unless they're playing the Saints. And they're, I don't see them scoring the 27 plus that I think they'll need to beat Jacksonville, because Jacksonville's offense can really pour it on, especially against a bad defense like Tennessee. So I've got Jacksonville at home in this one. I imagine they'll cover the 3-point spread. Division game on a short week, just a lot of variables.
Yeah. Yeah, these Thursday night games are always weird, as we always say. But I went with the home team in this one as well. I just think based on how Jacksonville's offense is playing these days, like you said, I think they'll be able to score enough points to hold off Tennessee. Could be a good game in terms of, despite it looking like a terrible game, I could see it turn into kind of an interesting game. But yeah, I just basically went with the home team in this one. That was more my rationale than anything. So,
really, the goal with a Thursday night game, if we're all being honest with ourselves, is you just hope for one that's fantasy relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
And this one actually is, which is kind of crazy when you think about, where Titans and Jaguars players were getting drafted. But yeah, there's a lot of players worth watching. So I think it'll be entertaining, if not good.
Yeah. Moving on down, we have Washington at Carolina. Carolina's obviously still undefeated. Washington is kind of another one of those teams that's played better over the last few weeks. Kirk Cousins is kind of coming on strong. And, I like some of the moves that Scott McLuhan has made over there, but I still just don't think that they have enough to get by Carolina. And this one, I pick Carolina. Who do you have in this game?
Yeah, Carolina. I mean,
why start picking against them now?
What's that?
Why start picking against them now?
Yeah, exactly. This isn't the team to pick against them. Washington has been sneaky. They've crawled their way up into 15th in DVOA. Mm-hmm. Much higher than I would have projected them to be at. But, I mean, Carolina, if they're not a true talent 9-0 team, they're really close. They are built to shorten the game, and they do it really well. I mean, Josh Norman – I mean, you think about before the season, you're talking about the Panthers team. You're probably listing 12 players before you get to Josh Norman. And honestly, he's been the best cornerback in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Like, number one wide receivers against Carolina are averaging something like 48 yards a game. It's just bonkers. So they know how to, shut down opposing offenses, and they're just really, really efficient, especially in the red zone. I mean, that's the thing. You can point at Cam Newton's low completion percentage. He doesn't have a lot of passing touchdowns, but they are ruthless inside of 20 yards. It's crazy. And Cam Newton is a monstrous reason for that. So, you know, I think that that really, as much as anything, is the difference between where they're at and where Seattle is at, because Seattle does a lot of the same things offensively and defensively. But when they get close, they really struggle. Carolina doesn't. And the ability to finish drives, that four-point difference between touchdown and field goal, that adds up. So I think Carolina is really legit. And, I mean, they're definitely the favorites to, you know, have home field advantage. All that is to say, no reason to pick against them this week.
Yeah, and can you imagine trying to defend Carolina in the red zone when you have –
How do you do it?
I mean, it's like you don't have the numbers. It's a numbers game with them because Cam is such a true runner.
Yeah, who is tackling Cam Newton one-on-one, right? Who's tackling Jonathan Stewart one-on-one? So you need extra defenders for those guys. And, I mean, you don't have to worry about the wide receivers, and it still doesn't matter. Between Olsen and that offensive line, you know, there's options for Cam, but ultimately we're talking about a super unique, dynamic quarterback.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Greg Olsen quote on him when people were asking about him, the dancing, which is like the biggest non-story ever?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear what he say.
Anyway, he was just talking about like, look, you know, if you want Cam Newton to be Cam Newton, this is who he is. He plays like a kid, yada, yada. But he was like, also, how many other quarterbacks are scoring as many? Many quarterbacks are willing to call their own number out of the shotgun from the 5-yard line and get a running start into a bunch of 300-pounders. Right. There's so few quarterbacks that have the ability to do it, much less the willingness. So if you're willing to run into the teeth of the defense over and over again, hell yeah, you should be able to smile and dance when you get through. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Let's not even talk about the dancing thing because that's so annoying.
Yeah, right.
In the fact that it's a story, not that he dances is annoying, to be clear.
Right. Yeah, man. At this point, if you got a problem with Cam Newton, you got a problem with you.
Exactly. Moving down the line, we got Oakland at Detroit. You know, obviously Detroit beat the Packers last week in Green Bay, which is always a tough thing to do. So, you know, there's something to that. And then on the other hand, Oakland has kind of struggled lately. I don't think they've been as, I don't know what the word is, I guess electric or explosive as I think they were for a little while there. You know, their defense hasn't been as good. So this game, I guess, is kind of an interesting one to pick, especially since it's in Detroit. What did you have in this game?
I've got Oakland, and it's funny because if you strip the team names from it, you said Team A lost to the Vikings at home and are going on the road to Team B, who beat the Packers in Green Bay. There's no way you would ever pick Team A.
Right. But it's a no-brainer.
That's just how weird last week was. Yeah. You know, I still think the Raiders are good. You know, Minnesota definitely outplayed them. I'm not going to take anything away from what the Vikings did, but I think the Raiders are better than how they played last week. And the Lions are not as good as they played last week. I mean, Green Bay's execution was as bad as I've ever seen it. And they still did everything they could to give that game away at the end, giving up the late touchdown drive and then missing the extra point and then dropping the onside. I mean, it was just crazy. You almost felt like it was inevitable that they were going to lose again. So that win isn't like super confidence inspiring for me. So I've got the Raiders winning this one. It wouldn't be shocking if they lost because I'm still not sure the Raiders are good, but they're definitely more talented and seem to be a lot more cohesive than the Lions.
Right. I oscillate too on the Raiders in terms of how confident I am in them. And it's like, do I think that they're the team I thought they were before the season where I was expecting like 5 wins, or are they more like a 9-win team? You know, I still don't really know, but I think in this case, like you said, I think Detroit is still a mess. I don't think that it necessarily changes anything that they won last week. It could kind of give them an extra emotional boost, which would be good, but I still don't think overall they're a good team. So, yeah, I went with Oakland as well on this one. Moving down the line, another really interesting game that, you know, I don't know how you decide to pick this one. It's Dallas at Miami, and obviously Tony Romo is coming back this week. You have to wonder how he'll be, if he'd be rusty or, you know, whatever. But, you know, the Cowboys have lost 7 games in a row, but I still think they're probably better than that. You know, they're not necessarily like a worst team in the NFL type team, especially if they can get their run game going. And having Tony Romo back to throw up some jump balls to Dez Bryant will be huge. So I don't know. I'd like to hear who you picked in this one before I tell you who I picked.
I picked the Cowboys, not with a ton of confidence. And again, you know, you look at the sticker values of this team, you're talking about a 2-7 team on the road, and I'm picking them. but they are actually, they are one of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, only 3 road favorites this week. And actually, that line moved to a pick 'em. Okay.
Yeah, also a favorite
earlier. Yeah, so that's a pick 'em. I'm a big believer in Tony Romo. I truly think Tony Romo is one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the world. If you know, no one, I mean, he was the easiest guy to make fun of and hate and whatever for like 4 or 5 years in a row. And no one says anything bad about Tony Romo anymore. You know, this is a team that was a botched reception call away from the NFC Championship game last year and is more or less the same roster, sans Tony Romo. And yeah, DeMarco Murray, although I still think they're running it pretty well. And this team sucks. Like, he's one of those rare quarterbacks that's worth 10 wins all on his own.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he's back, I don't expect him to be great right away, but I do expect him with a full strength Dez, Jason running the way he is, to be good. And good is good enough to beat Miami this year.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going to pick this, and I picked Dallas as well.
Damn it.
I know. I figured you'd be a little disappointed about that. I mean, I don't know. Again, like, Miami beat Philly last week, which kind of surprised me. Then again, Philly is just kind of a mess week in, week out, even though their defense is strong. I just don't really know what to think of Miami, to be honest, and so I almost picked them. And, you know, it, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they win this game. But
no, I'm not like stamping this as a stone cold lock or anything.
Yeah. But then again, I agree with you about Tony Romo. I think he's a very special player. You know, and giving, you know, like we talked about this, I think like last year, Dez Bryant had 16 touchdowns last year in an offense that ran the ball as much as the Seahawks did.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I knew that he had a ton of touchdowns, and obviously knew that, you know, they were a great running team last year, but it never occurred to me how nuts it is to have both of those things.
Yeah. So that's the kind of connection they have. That's the kind of weapon that Dez Bryant is. 16 touchdowns in the Seahawks volume passing offense. You know, like,
yeah, basically.
Seahawks had, like, Doug Baldwin had 3 touchdowns last year. That was the leading guy.
Seahawks might not throw 16 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, exactly. So, to me, getting Romo back is, like, I mean, you said it. It's an enormous factor. And I think with Romo, they're a good team. And so that was why I picked them in this one. I think it's going to be an emotional boost to have him back as well. I actually think the way that what's his name? Darren McFadden is running is pretty impressive and surprising. And so, I don't know. I just kind of think that, you know, that's why I went with Dallas in this one. Obviously, it kind of has, you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith because they're on the road, but I don't know. I guess just for those reasons.
For those of you out there who are picking Miami, Danny, I'm asking you to play devil's advocate on this. Who do you see on the Miami roster where you say, yeah, I think that's how they can, that's why they can beat Dallas?
Well, Sue, Ndamukong Suh is playing a little bit better this year, or, you know, recently, but against the Cowboys, I think that's kind of a neutralized matchup because their offensive line is so damn good. So I really don't see him being as big of a factor. And then obviously they don't have Cameron Wake anymore. So I think, honestly, if you're talking about it, it's like the offense, you have to ask, is Jarvis Landry and Lamar Miller, are Jarvis Landry and Lamar Miller good enough on offense to beat the Cowboys? I think you could make the argument. I don't know how strongly I would believe you about it, but I don't have a lot of faith in Dallas's defense. So I think you could make the argument those guys could, you know, do it. And I mean, look what they did last week against the Eagles, who have one of the best defenses in the NFL. So it's an interesting matchup. I you could swing it either way, honestly. Like, you could convince me one way or another, I think. But in this one, I just kind of had to go with my gut. And I trust Tony Romo more than I trust Tannehill by a long shot. So I guess that's kind of, you know, where it went. I'm very much biased for quarterbacks. I think they're super important. You know, and if you're playing the odds, I think you always go with the better quarterback in terms of if everything else is sort of equal. Thoughts?
I mean, you're right. You know, one of the key things to look at really is quarterback. It's that important of a position. And Tannehill is a guy that I was really high on this year. I thought that he would have the kind of season that Derek Carr is having. I thought that was the jump that he was going to make. And he's had a couple of really nice games, but the consistency is definitely there. He doesn't look confident. You know, he was kind of the surprise of that QB class, and seems to have regressed this year. And I don't watch enough of them to know whose fault that is, if it's a schematic thing or his line or whatever. All I know is that he hasn't been very good this year, and there's just no reason to think Tony Romo won't be better than him.
Yeah. Moving down the line, we have Indianapolis at Atlanta. Obviously, the major factor here that you have to keep in mind is that Andrew Luck is out. So you're talking about Matt Hasselbeck starting, which, you know, obviously he's won two games that he started this year, so it's not like he's completely washed up or ineffective. But he's obviously, you know, I think pushing 40 years old. He's not, you know, a dynamic quarterback necessarily, and so you have to wonder how he'll play this week. But Atlanta, on the other hand, is playing terrible lately. So I think this is another one of those games that's kind of hard to pick, even though the line right now is 6 in Atlanta's favor. So what did you have in this one?
Well, as a Seahawks fan, honestly, there's no team that I'm going to be cheering harder for this week than Indianapolis. Just, you know, the Hasselbeck connection obviously is there. I want to see him do really well. But realistically, if the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs, Atlanta's the team that they're going to have to catch. You know, they're two games behind them, two games behind Green Bay, but Green Bay has the tiebreaker, so they're basically three games behind them, which I don't see them making up. So it's kind of Atlanta or bust. With that in mind, I look for any excuse to pick Indianapolis at Atlanta this week, anything at all, and I just couldn't do it. You know, Atlanta's at home coming off their bye. I still think they're a more talented roster than Indianapolis. I mean, the Colts still have major identity issues. But you're right. Atlanta has been playing really badly of late, which doesn't make sense given how much talent they have. So, I really want to pick the Colts in this one, but I just don't see how they're going to do it. So I've got the Colts I've got the Falcons, and that 6 points sounds about right that they're favored by.
Yeah. Moving on down the line, we've got St. Louis at Baltimore. Another one of those games that
I assume you're taking the Falcons as well.
Yeah. Sorry. Did I not say that already? Yeah. I'm taking the Falcons. Even though, like you said, I don't know, like, I don't like how the Falcons have been playing lately, and you know, the Colts obviously have been playing a little bit better lately. But to me, you know, you take the home team against the backup quarterback. I think, you know, that's kind of a safe pick in this one. Obviously, and like you said, the line is 6, and so I don't think Vegas sees it as that close. So I just kind of went with the home team in this one. Moving on down, we got St. Louis at Baltimore. This is kind of one of those games that two teams that you don't really know what they are or which team is going to show up, the good or the bad. I think we were both kind of high on St. Louis for a while, but the last 2 weeks they've not done well. And then I think we both kind of think that Baltimore is, you know, maybe better than their record, but not great either. So I think it's just, this is an interesting matchup. Who'd you have in this one?
This is a really interesting matchup. I think if I want to go through and see what my record is picking each team, right? Like what teams do I give way too much credit to? What teams don't I give enough credit to?
That would be interesting.
And I think the only team that I've been wrong on more frequently than the Vikings have been the Ravens. I still think the Ravens are pretty good. Not like good, but definitely not 2-8 mm-hmm. or 2-7 or whatever. So I picked them. How the Rams aren't 6-3 is beyond me with that talent. Like yeah. It just doesn't make it, especially with Gurley now. I mean, all of a sudden you basically have like an in his prime Adrian Peterson plugged into your backfield and you can't win a game with him. It's bonkers. It's bizarre. It's so weird that the ability to run that well, that powerfully, and have guys like Tavon Austin as sort of your switchblade, and have that defense and be 4-5. But you probably say the same thing about Seahawks. They're weird. They're just really, really weird this year. And these are two teams that I hate picking games on. Mm-hmm. I still think the Ravens are good. I think they're good enough to win. It's tough. You know, you see just how important Steve Smith was, because with Torrey Smith gone, there are no weapons in that passing game. And that makes them really one-dimensional. And Forsett has had his best games invariably when Steve Smith is healthy. So the run game has really suffered from no one trusting the pass at all. Mm. So basically I've got a lot of reasons to not pick either team. And when I find myself in that position, I typically default to the home team. I can't think of a great reason to pick the Rams, especially since they just benched Foles and they're going with their backup. And, you know, that's going to be a learning curve for them and trying to figure out what that looks like. I got the Ravens.
Yeah, and I picked the Ravens as well. I think the other variable that you have going on right now is the Rams are making a switch at quarterback. And so that is kind of – that throws a lot of doubt and uncertainty into this whole thing. I just think it's going to be tough. I don't know a ton about Case Keenum. What I do remember is, you know, not very good.
Touchdowns at Houston.
What's that?
I said he threw a bunch of touchdowns at Houston.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't know. There's that whole angle. Again, it's kind of like, you know, he's the X factor in this one, but I don't think he's going to be better than Foles was. Not that Foles was any good, but I think there's a reason Foles was starting, and I just don't have a lot of confidence in him going in here. But you never know. I think this is another one of those games I think that I'm not confident about. But I did pick the Ravens because they're at home, because the Rams have lost two in a row and kind of just look like the Rams again. And you know, I don't know. I think just in general, it's tough to play in Baltimore. So you know, it's not, there's not a whole lot to think about here for me, honestly. I just kind of went with the home.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing before we move on from this game. True or false, Danny, in 10 years, will there be 10 stats more bizarre than Nick Foles having a 27 touchdown, 2 interception year?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that was. Was that just the NFL not catching up to?
I think so, man. I think, can you imagine what a good, like a really good quarterback would have done playing in right. that offense? I mean, right. Michael Vick had like a 50, I don't know. Well, anyway, that was amazing. I truly thought that he was going to be great. I mean, he was the highest rated passer in the NFL in the preseason, his rookie year. He was the only guy rated higher than Russell Wilson, which whatever preseason, but then he follows it up with like the highest rated passing season in history, just not enough attempts to qualify.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So crazy. And then, you know, he kind of is what he is now.
I'm looking at Case Keenum's stats. So he's started 10 games. He has a career 55% completion rate, completion percentage. His yards per attempt is 6.7. He has 11 touchdowns to 8 picks. 76 rating. So, I mean, nothing there that really looks all that impressive to me. He did throw 9 touchdowns to 6 interceptions in 2013, but in 2014, when he was back with the Texans, he had two picks, two interceptions, 5.6 yards per attempt, 58% rating. So he, or completion percentage, sorry. He just, nothing about him really stands out to me. And so I just basically don't have a whole lot of confidence in him there, but you never really know with these things. He could always be one of those kind of like come out of the nowhere type players. So moving on down, we have the Texans or the Jets at Texans. Speaking of the Texans, who did you have in this one?
I've got the Jets, and just because they're a better team, I don't think they're a lot better. Their meltdown against the Bills last week was weird. I actually really love Todd Bowles, like a lot. And I think that the Jets are a bit better than their 5-4 record. And I think the Texans are worse than their 4-5 record. You know, one of the benefits of playing on a Thursday is that your game afterwards, you got 10 days of rest, which the Jets have now. And, you know, Decker and Marshall are still playing well. I'm not sure what's up with Chris Ivory. He has not been effective in almost a month now, but I still think that Fitzpatrick is a really good quarterback and has a really good grasp of that offense and what's required. I still think the defense is very, very good. So I just think on talent alone, I'm picking the Jets.
Yeah, I did too. And it was obviously like really surprising to see how Houston played Cincinnati last week. And I just don't really know what to think of that, but I'm still thinking Houston probably won't have Brian Hoyer this week. It sounds like he got really concussed in that last game. You know, I guess he could play, but right now I'm kind of counting him out. And I think the Jets are a better team than maybe they're, you know, the way they played last week. I think their defense is outstanding. I think that they're trending back in the right direction, even though they lost to Buffalo. But I just think, I don't know. I like the Jets a lot still. I think Houston is kind of a mess. I just don't really think that they're very good. I think they have one weapon on offense and they definitely know how to go to him, but, the Jets are so good at defense. I think they can take him out of the game or at least contain him in DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, with that, you know, because then you got Revis, you can have him follow him around. That's like their big matchup to think about. So that's kind of why I went with the Jets on this one. I just think they're a better team.
Agreed.
All right, so moving down the line, this one's interesting, honestly, because I think I made my pick and then switched it and switched it and switched it like a couple times on this one. Green Bay at Minnesota. What do you got?
You first.
So on this one, I ended up going with Minnesota because for a number of reasons. One, I don't know what's going on with Green Bay's offense right now, but it's been awful. You know, their running back situation, Eddie Lacy's been benched. He's been unhealthy. You know, James Starks is a good running back, but I don't think he's anything special. And then obviously, you know, with the way that things have gone an injury situation for the Packers. Like they don't have a deep threat. Jordy Nelson's not there. Devontae Adams is really not stepped up. I saw some stat he's the lowest number. Okay. He was targeted like 21 times last week and had like 79 yards or something like that. And so that's like the worst ratio of targets to yardage ever or something like that.
It's the lowest yardage output for any player who's ever received 20 targets in a game.
He's just not been good. Like his hands aren't good. I don't think he's a particularly great route runner yet.
Green Bay relies really heavily on timing routes. Like Green Bay Aaron Rodgers throws the ball before his receivers turn around probably more than any quarterback besides Peyton Manning in the last few years. And Jordy Nelson is so good at finding the ball late, but that's a really rare skill. That's not just like a plug-and-play skill, like, oh, the number one guy in Green Bay is just going to inherit Jordy Nelson's numbers. Like, Jordy Nelson every year makes a dozen catches that are insane.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I actually thought Devontae Adams was going to be a good proxy, not necessarily be as good of a player, but, like, I thought his style was, good, like, similar and fit there, but he's just not there yet. And so I think they have some issues on offense, obviously. You know, if you go back to the last two games, Aaron Rodgers essentially hasn't turned it on until the fourth quarter in both of them. They've been terrible in first halves and even in the third quarter. And I think Minnesota's good enough to run away with it before, kind of like what happened. Was it against the Broncos? I can't remember. Who did the Packers play 2 weeks ago? Either way, they kind of made a comeback to make it look respectable. But
that was the Panthers game.
Right, Panthers. Sorry, that's right. So I mean that game looked like it was over in the third quarter. Obviously, Green Bay made a comeback and made it really interesting. But I think Minnesota can do a similar thing in the sense they can put this game away in the third quarter and then ride Adrian Peterson out for the fourth quarter. The way that Adrian Peterson is running right now, he looks like he's in his prime. I think I'm going to have to look this up. He's way ahead in terms of rushing yards over everyone else right now. And they still lean on him to be, you know, he has 961 yards. Next closest is Chris Johnson at 734.
Holy cow.
So he's like lapping the field right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's averaging 106 yards per game. He has 5 touchdowns already. He is, I mean, he's just like kind of getting into his groove. And he actually is averaging more rushes than any other player in the NFL right now. So they're obviously, you know, they're obviously leaning on him as their foundation of their offense. And if you look at Green Bay's run defense, you know, they haven't done well this year in terms of limiting some of these top running attacks. So that was the matchup that I had in mind. I think that the Vikings can do enough to kind of score points and run away with this game. I like their defense too. I think their defense is really good. And just the way that the Packers are playing right now, unless they magically kind of turn it around and all of a sudden are really good, I'm just kind of going off how they've looked the last 3 weeks. But if they, you know, if they kind of continue playing where they're playing, I think the Vikings could pull this off. So that's why I picked them. But I obviously was clearly conflicted about it. Kind of hate picking.
You start off by picking the Packers.
Yeah, and then I kind of convinced myself otherwise. So I won't be surprised either way in this one. What did you have?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this game, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I did pick the Packers, but if the Vikings win this one, I promise I have come around. It's interesting because so often NFL games really come down to who wins the fourth quarter, even if the first three quarters are fairly lopsided. And to win fourth quarters consistently, you have to be able to run the ball. And right now, Adrian Peterson is like the Mariano Rivera of the NFL. I mean, he is just a closer when they get a lead.
Mm-hmm.
Just everyone knows he's running, and it just doesn't matter. You know, he's not – I mean, last week he broke an 80-yarder to, you know, basically end it.
Yeah.
But he hasn't done that this year. That was, I think, his first really big, long touchdown run. But what he doesn't ever do is just get stuffed. Like, he finishes forward all the time. It's just 3 to 5 yards every time until he, you know, he breaks loose every few carries. It's hard in the fourth quarter to just get pushed backwards like that. And, you know, so in that sense, because of Adrian Peterson alone, you know, I think that he is kind of winning a lot of these games. And obviously Stephon Diggs coming on has given them a weapon in the passing game that they haven't really had. But, I mean, we're still talking about the 28th best pass offense in the NFL. You know, we're still talking about the 26th best offense overall. And their defense for all the young, exciting players they have are still 20th. In defense by DVOA. Let me see. I'll pull up the numbers there. 15th against the pass. They're 28th against the run. They're not good on defense. And I still think the Packers are a lot better than they've been the last few weeks. Something is weird and wrong. But lots of good quarterbacks, every good quarterback has a stretch like this. Aaron Rodgers has just never had a stretch like this. But – you know, I think that whenever you have someone as talented as him, that makes your whole offense a lot more fungible. And I can't imagine them just not figuring it out, especially against a team that they know really well. I don't know. I'm still just siding with superior talent in this one. And I still think that the Vikings are a bit of a smoke and mirrors outfit. So I'm taking the Packers, but if anyone out there is tired of me picking against the Vikings, if they win this one, it's probably the last time I do it.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be one to watch. That one is that is the afternoon game, I believe, or maybe not.
Yeah, that'll be a really good one.
But that's going to be a fun one to watch, obviously. And that's going to be, I bet you that'll be a swing pick for a lot of people this week. Moving on down the line, Tampa Bay at Philly. Yeah,
the early returns on it is 54% Packers, 46% Vikings. So it's really even.
That's interesting. That's going to be, you know, one of those picks. Moving down the line, Tampa Bay at Philly. I don't know. I hate picking both of these teams, honestly. Mm-hmm. Who do you have in this one?
Philadelphia. I mean, I still think they're the better team and they're at home.
You on board with the Sanchez?
I mean, I don't think he's like a lot different than Bradford.
I don't know necessarily if he's playing or not, but
yeah, I mean, either way, I don't really see it changing things a great deal. I thought they outplayed Miami. They just had some opportunities to score late and didn't convert, but I didn't see, you know, a really bad football team, and they've been good for the last month. So I think they're good. I think they could be kind of the other team out of that 4-5 group with Seattle that has a shot at making a run at Atlanta. So I've got them. I think Tampa Bay is progressing really quickly, though, and I think that Jameis Winston is giving them some real legitimacy. So I like them. I like kind of watching them ascend right now because they got a lot of players that I really enjoy, but I still think the Eagles are a better team and a little bit more experienced.
Yeah, and this one I think was kind of hard for me, but not terribly. I picked Philly too, mostly because they're at home. I like their defense, and I think they can give Tampa Bay some trouble there. But honestly, like, I hate picking both of these teams because I think both of these teams have kind of let me down this year a couple times. So I don't know. I begrudgingly picked the home team in this one and didn't think about it too much because I don't know. I just didn't. I just don't like picking for either of these teams.
Yeah.
Moving down, we got Denver at Chicago. I'll be interested to hear who you picked in this one. I actually picked Chicago, and it's not necessarily because I don't think Denver's a good team, but I just think Chicago is playing really well right now. And I think with Brock Osweiler starting, that is a big X factor. I don't think he can do much worse than what Peyton's been doing, but the Denver defense hasn't been as good as it's been the last couple of weeks. Something's kind of going on there. Obviously last week they had the Talib suspension, and they've had DeMarcus Ware been out, but they just haven't looked as potent anymore. And so this is kind of one of those upset picks that you'd maybe advise against, but I did it anyway, even though actually right now Chicago is favored.
I was just gonna say it's not technically an upset. I wonder if people won't look at the records and, you know, take Denver as thinking it's a steal and watch that money line move back, but right now it's Chicago.
Yeah, so I went with Chicago. I actually wrote about Chicago today, so I've been watching them I've been watching them a lot today, and so I've come away pretty impressed with their offense. Obviously, they went into St. Louis last week against the number 5 rated defense and kind of tore them up. I just like how they're playing. I don't know, and I think they're doing pretty well on defense too. They've got some weapons on defense too. So right now, I just think they're playing with a lot of confidence, and so it's kind of I'm riding that wave a little bit. I might regret it. But I think as long as Jay Cutler doesn't implode, I think they have a really good shot in this one. Obviously, they're favored right now. I think they're probably going to end up being underdog. But I don't know. I just like them in this one. What do you have in this?
I actually agree with you.
Wow.
I am going with Vegas on this one. I think the Bears win. right now, 52% of the country is picking Denver, 48% is picking Chicago. So, I mean, it really shows. I think that even though Chicago's definitely looked better, a lot better with Cutler back, I think that this is really a reflection of the uncertainty around what Denver's going to be like. Because I think Chicago can score on this Denver defense. I mean, Cutler and Jeffrey together, when they've both been healthy this year, have probably been the best QB to wide receiver combination just on a per attempt basis in the NFL, or close to it. I mean, look unstoppable. And then Jeremy Langford just stepped into the Matt Forte role and is putting up Matt Forte numbers.
Yeah.
Like that offense is cruising right now. And then Zach Miller, the emergence of the other Zach Miller, it's bonkers, man. I think that they can score 20-plus points. I look at Denver's offense, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Right.
I mean, we're still talking about the worst offense in the NFL by DVOA, which is a testament to how good
their defense is. Regular standard, too.
What's that?
And probably by most, like, regular standards, too.
Yeah, right. Yes, I'm sure you're right. It's really bad.
Yeah. So, that's interesting. We both picked Chicago on that one. I guess I'm sure that'll be a big swing game for everyone too, though. So that's another one to watch. That one's an early game. So that'll be on the early slate. And then obviously moving down the line, we have – not sure. These got kind of out of order for me on this one. We have Arizona and Cincinnati in Arizona. This is the Sunday night game. And obviously it's probably the best matchup in the docket this week, I think, probably. And, you know, it's two teams that are really, really playing really, really well right now, obviously since he lost last week, but I'm sure they'll be back. I'm sure they'll kind of bounce back and make this one an interesting one. And then obviously Arizona's riding high after winning in Seattle. So I had a tough time picking this one, but I want to hear what you had to say first before I tell you.
Yeah, I went with the Cardinals. I mean, if you read my article this week, I spent a decent amount of time talking about, for all the, you know, mistakes the Seahawks made or shortcomings they have, the Cardinals won because they're a really good team. I personally think they're the best team in the NFC, even more than Carolina.
Interesting.
They're my pick to go to the Super Bowl right as of right now. I mean, and we saw it all. Bruce Arians is the perfect coach for that team because they're built to go deep, you know? Like, that's a big balls offense, and it's a big balls defense. They blitz a lot. They man up on defense. They hit hard. They move in unison. On offense, they just take their shot, just shot after shot after shot.
Yeah.
And Carson Palmer is such a good deep ball thrower that even if they don't complete it, you know, he puts them in a position to draw a penalty on the perfectly thrown back shoulder throw. He never throws interceptions on those, like ever, on deep balls. He's got the receivers to go get it. He's got your two huge guys in Fitzgerald, who's been reborn, and Michael Floyd, who looks amazing. Yeah. And then, you know, he's got the T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown types John and Jerron Brown, who are just total burners. And then on top of that, they got the second leading rusher in the NFL, and he might not be the best running back on that team. So, you know, they're really deep. They made themselves really, really good this offseason. And for as much as I like the Bengals, and I really like the Bengals, I think they're another super talented team, and I'm very impressed by Hugh Jackson. I think the Cardinals are just rolling right now, and maybe the Patriots are the only team I wouldn't pick them to beat.
Yeah. Yep. I also went with Arizona on this one, although I did think about picking the Bengals. I just kind of, you know, maybe it's just recency of seeing them play, but I agree. I think they're just really, really good. And you know, people are really bummed out about, you know, the Seahawks loss, and I understand that. They had a fourth quarter lead, though. And they almost beat probably, you know, one of the top couple teams in the NFL right now in terms of how they're playing. You know, I just think that with the way that Carson Palmer plays and the way that he has played, it's really, really hard to beat this team. I mean, some of those touchdown passes that he made were seriously ridiculous.
Yes.
And so, I don't know. I don't know how Cincinnati's going to beat them on the road here. I think it's probably going to be a fun game and a good game, but I'm guessing Arizona's going to run away with this one in the fourth quarter. You know,
Cincinnati's also road team on a short week after Monday night.
There you go. I think if Cincinnati's going to win, it means Andy Dalton's going to make some ridiculous plays. I think that's the only way that they win. And I have more faith in Carson Palmer doing that right now. I think that Andy Dalton has actually been playing really, really well. There's nothing against him necessarily. I don't know. Carson Palmer is just falling out right now. The Seahawks pressured him 30 times in Seattle in that game, and he's still like it was like 70% like completion on those things.
That is so nuts. And they weren't just like little dump off, you know, everyone's going to complete 70% of them type passes. I mean, he was stepping into some second and third level throws.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of going with the hot hand on this one. It's going to be a fun game, though, because those are two really, really deep teams. If you're talking about depth, I think these are probably the two deepest teams in the NFL right now.
I completely agree with you. And this is the number two versus number three teams by DVOA. It's the number two offense versus the number three offense by DVOA. Number six defense versus number eight. I mean, this is a true heavyweight fight.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. Can't wait to watch that one. This other one that is happening this weekend, I'm not as excited to watch, but it should be a good game. Hopefully it should be a good game for Seattle. Seahawks obviously hosting the 49ers. I'm a little bit scared to watch this one just because I think if they lose, people are going to lose their shit. But I don't see that happening. I picked the Seahawks in this one. I just don't think the 49ers are very good. Even if the Seahawks are struggling right now, and that's kind of debatable. I mean, obviously they are just based on their record, but I still think they're a good team. I just don't see the 49ers coming into Seattle and winning, especially with Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. Obviously, he had an okay game to start out, but I don't think that means he's a good quarterback necessarily. I think Seattle bounces back in this one, and right now the line is 12.5, which is probably one of the biggest lines during this season. I don't know if it's necessarily the biggest line, but it's probably one of the biggest lines in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've seen a couple others. In fact, Seattle has been Seattle is a 15-point favorite, I think, against Chicago earlier this year. But, yeah, it's really rare to see 12-point favorites. And I think that says – I mean, we're still talking about one of the most talented rosters in the NFL versus one of the least talented rosters in the NFL that is starting Blaine Gabbert. Because the alternative isn't as good.
Right.
So, you know, this is – if Seattle loses this, then, yeah, I mean, you got to start reevaluating some things. But there's still no reason to think that that's going to happen. San Francisco is 30th on offense, 30th on defense, and has one of the lowest DVOA numbers that, like, of all time. I mean, they're really, really bad. They're 7 in DVOA. To give you an idea of what that means, the next worst team is -21. So they're like a standard deviation worse than the next worst team.
Yeah.
And they're on the road. So I don't know. I mean, there's just, you know, we're worried because they've lost games and we thought they should have won and wonder what that means momentum-wise. But they would just have to tank this so hard to lose to the 49ers.
Yeah. So let's just move on from that one. I don't want to talk about the Seahawks anymore. we got Kansas City at San Diego. Kansas City is actually playing really well right now. They've won 3 games in a row. San Diego obviously has a good offense, but they've lost some of their weapons. They don't have much of a home field advantage. This is a divisional matchup, though, so kind of anything goes. Who do you think is going to win this one?
The Chiefs. Chiefs are every bit as good on offense with Charkhandrick West as they were with Jamal Charles.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Don't confuse that with me saying that West is as good as Charles, but from a production standpoint, he's stepped right in and given that offense that guy that Andy Reid has always had as his linchpin. So I think their offense is playing really well. Alex Smith is playing really well. Their defense has been good of late. They were looked incredible against Denver. I don't know, you know, read into that what you will. But I think they're playing really good football. They're a top 10 team by DVOA, if I remember correctly. They are ninth overall. You know, I think that they're good. And I think that, you know, even at 4-5, that they're going to really make some noise in the second half of the season this year. And I hope they do. I like them. I like how they're built. The Chargers, I'm so impressed with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Like every year as he gets older, I get more and more impressed by him. But he's just lost everyone. I mean, they're the most injured team in the NFL and lost really, really key guys. And I just don't see how they beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are good. They're a polished, they're as complete and polished as a 4-5 team can be. Yeah. And, you know, San Diego's just – they're just a lost cause at this point.
The Chiefs have lost to the Packers, Bengals, Bears, Vikings, and that's it. Wait, I'm not seeing the whole schedule here. Hold on.
We got one.
Yeah, there's one more in there. So they beat the Texans. They lost to the Broncos, Packers, and Bengals. And then, so basically they lost to like three of the best teams at that time, Broncos, Packers, and Bengals. And then they lost to the Bears. And I was like, okay, now I really think they suck, even though they had lost to some really good teams. Then they lost to the Vikings, who are better than I think I thought back then. But since then they've beaten the Steelers, Lions, which is nothing. And then the Broncos. So, I mean, I don't know. They're kind of a hard team to read at this point. I think they're probably better than most people think they are, though.
I think they're like a true talent 6-3 team, to be honest.
Yeah, so their only bad loss really is against the Bears, and the Bears are 4-5 right now.
Yeah, and I think that was the Cutler Bears, and the Cutler Bears are 3-1, I think.
There you go. So anyway, I think I also picked KC in this one. I do really like Phillip Rivers, but I can't bank on the Chargers doing anything anymore. Although, you know, they can score a lot of points, but I just, you know, I think I've picked them a few times this year and they're still like 2-something or whatever, but I just think Kansas City is just rolling right now, so I don't want to pick against that necessarily. Moving down the line, one final game on the docket, Buffalo at New England. What do you think of this one?
I think that Buffalo can give them a fight for sure. You know, we saw on the last 2 weeks what that offense can look like, you know, when they
are healthy.
Thank you. With Tyrod Taylor healthy, they hardly ever have to pass it, right? Like only 12 attempts a couple weeks ago, and I know not a ton last week. I never saw the numbers, but when LeSean McCoy is healthy, I mean, he looked like the guy that was a 20-touchdown runner. And then Carlos Williams – I mean, there's no relief for the defense when you put him in. They're just a really physical team. Their defense was really physical. I like Buffalo, and I'm happy to see them playing well because there's just a lot of personalities on that team that I like to cheer for. But New England it's so frustrating. But New England's playing as well as they ever have.
Right.
I mean – we're talking about the most successful 15-year run any NFL team has ever seen, and this might be the best of them right now. He's, you know, it's like the Popovich Spurs that just keep reinventing themselves however they need to. I actually think that the loss of Julian Edelman is going to matter a lot.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that is keeping Tom Brady young is that nobody gets open faster in a route than Julian Edelman. He is open so early in routes that, you know, Brady doesn't ever have to hold on to the ball for very long. So I think trying to replace that is going to be difficult. I think Amendola can come close, but he's never really produced when he's been an outside receiver. One of the great things about Edelman is that he could be an outside receiver and still, you know, at his size and still put up that kind of production. So I think that's going to take some adjustment for them. But they are still supremely talented and the most disciplined team and the best coached team. And Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the world right now, which is just nuts. So yeah, it's the Patriots, but I hope the Bills make a game of it.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of basically took the words out of my mouth in terms of your thinking on it. I like the Bills. I think they can give them a run for their money. I think you have to do something pretty special to win in New England, though, and I'm not sure they can do that, even with Julian Edelman out. I just think that Tom Brady is such a freaking technician. He's a surgeon. He just, like you said, they kind of invent a new game plan every week, and Tom Brady goes out and just executes it with, like, near perfection. It's just kind of crazy to watch. I wish that, you know, it's kind of hard to like the Patriots at this point because of the history here, but I don't know. They're just, like, really fun to watch because they just – it's like whenever you picture a really good team and they get all these weapons and you're like, oh, man, this would be the coolest way for them to use these weapons. Like, they're, like, the only team that actually freaking does it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Gronk is used perfectly, you know? Julian Edelman's used perfectly. Amendola and his role is perfectly. Deion Lewis, like, in theory, this guy could be really good if they do this. They use him perfectly. You know, and then they're going to probably make some star out of whoever it ends up, whether it's, you know, James White or the other guy, I can't remember his name, Brandon Bolden. They're probably going to make a star out of this guy, whoever comes next.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know. I really like watching the Spurs play basketball because I feel like every time they're out, you're watching the only team capable of, like, perfecting the game. Like, right. That could actually go out and play a perfect game. And the Patriots are that way. They're the only team that – it's like watching them try and touch the face of God and just play perfect football. I hate saying it. I feel sick saying it, but I would be being dishonest to say I'm not just in complete admiration of what they're doing right now.
Yeah, same here. So there we have it. We both picked New England in that one. So the two differences this week we have, I picked Minnesota, you picked Green Bay. Actually, maybe that's the only one.
I think. No, I swear we had two.
I could have sworn two.
Yeah. No.
One, I think.
You picked might have been one. So I got a chance to tie in either.
All right, here we go. Do you have any against the spread picks to contribute?
Yeah. You know, right now Dallas versus Miami's a pick 'em, and I think Dallas is going to win, so that's a natural cover there. I also think that Green Bay covers. They're giving a point to Minnesota. I think Green Bay wins, so I'm taking them on the road as well. And, you know, I picked Chicago to win. They got a 1-point spread at home against Denver. And, you know, I'm just basically banking on them winning by more than 1 point. Those are, you know, nothing outlandish this week, but those are the three.
Very good. So, as always, remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on Field Goals. You can follow Jackson on Twitter at Jackson Bevins. That's Jacson. Make sure you listen to our other podcasts as well. We have Real in the Field Goals coming up on, what is today? Yeah, tomorrow. We have Stephen Cohen from the Seattle PI coming on to that. So that's going to be great. And then obviously listen to 3000 NFL Mock Draft. That's a podcast by Kenneth Arthur and Rob State, and they do a really good job of that every week. So make sure you tune into all those and subscribe on iTunes and write us really nice reviews and all that stuff. So, Jackson, any last words before we sign off?
Nope.
All righty. All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
Later.